ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ओम नमो भगवते
श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 28 और विच इज द आई सी ओके सो व्हाट शुड आई डू शुड आई जस्ट रीड इट थ्रू एंड We have, you have a copy? Huh? Okay. So, text 28. This chapter is entitled as Prayers by Demigods. Tom. सतः प्रसूति सन्निधानम् त्वम् अनुग्रहश्च त्वन् मायया संवृता चेतसस् त्वं पश्यन्ति नाना न विपश्चितो ये सो प्रोबब्ली इट विल बी डिफिकल्ट टू रिसाइट टुगेदर सो ओके वी गॉट अ कंप्यूटर वी गॉट वन कॉपी इन गुजराती एनीवे आई विल जस्ट रीड इट थ्रू त्वमेक एवास्य सतु प्रसूति त्वं सन्निधानं तमनुग्रहश्च तन्मायया संवृतचेतसस्तं पश्यन्ति नाना न विपश्चितो ये त्वमेक एवास्य सत प्रसूति त्वं सन्निधानं तमनुग्रहश्च तन्मायया संवृतचेतसस्त्वं प्रभुपान द एफिशियंट कॉज ऑफ दिस मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड manifested with its many varieties as the original tree is you, O Lord. You are also the maintainer of this material world, and after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation. But theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Please repeat. The efficient cause of this material world, manifested with its many varieties, as the original tree, is you, O Lord. You are also the maintainer of this material world. And after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation. But theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, were supposed to be the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. But actually they are not. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifested in varieties of energy, ekam eva dityam brahma. There is no second existence. Those who are truly viparshchit, learned, are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition of life. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Brahma Samhita 5.38. Learned devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. While one is within this material world, one is in various conditions, and therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. Tattena kampam shushumikshamanaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 14th Chapter, verse 8. A devotee therefore regards distress as a great favor of the Lord, because he understands that he is being cleansed of contamination. Tesham aham samudhatta mrittu samsara sagarat. Bhagavad Gita, 12th Chapter, verse 7. The appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from this material world, which is called mrittu samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from repeated birth and death, the Lord purifies him of contamination by offering him a little distress. This cannot be understood by a non-devotee, but a devotee can see this because he is viparshchit, or learned. A non-devotee, therefore, is perturbed in distress, but a devotee welcomes distress as another feature of the Lord. Sarvam khallidam brahma. A devotee can actually see that there is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. Ekam eva dityam. There is only the Lord who presents himself in different energies. Persons who are not in real knowledge think that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer, and Shiva is the annihilator, and that the different demigods are intended to fulfill diverse purposes. Thus they create diverse purposes and worship various demigods to have these purposes fulfilled. Kamaistoistoi ritagyana prapadante anya devataha. A devotee, however, knows that these various demigods are but different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that these parts need not be worshipped. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 23, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Jai Shri Taram Lakshmi Hanuman Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal Ki Jai. Jayapya Anna Devata Bhakta Jajante Shraddhayan Nitaha Tepi Mam Eva Kaunteya Jajanti Abhidhipurvakam. Whatever man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. There is no need to worship the demigods, for this is abhidhi, not in order. Simply by surrendering oneself at the lotus feet of Krishna, one can completely discharge one's duties. There is no need to worship various demigods, various deities or demigods. These various divinities are observed by the mudhas, fools, who are bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Tribhir gunamair bhavai evhi sarvam idam jagat. Such fools cannot understand that the real source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mohitam nabhi janati mam ebhya param abhyam. Not being disturbed by the Lord's various features, one should concentrate upon the worship of the Supreme Lord. Mam ekam saranam brajaha. This should be the guiding principle of one's life. Tameka evasya satap prashutis tam sannidhanam tam anugrahascha tvan mayaya sambritaschetasastvam pashyanti nana na vipaschitoji. The efficient cause of this material world, manifested with its many varieties as the original tree, is you, O Lord. You are also the maintainer of this material world, and after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation, but theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. So, this chapter is describing narrating the prayers by the demigods. Krishna appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki. And although Krishna is in the womb of his mother, but the demigods understood that he is now coming. He has appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki. Krishna did not have to come into the womb of Mother Devaki. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna doesn't have to take birth. Actually, Krishna's birth is divine, transcendental. It's all pastimes. Krishna's birth, Krishna's activities, whatever Krishna does is his pastimes. Pastimes means it's like a play on a stage, a drama on a stage. An actor is acting. He is not that person. He is acting in order to convey certain purpose, in order to fulfill certain purpose. Just as a drama is enacted on a stage, Krishna performs his pastimes in a similar way. Just like an actor, he is doing things. Krishna is never born like that. But Krishna takes birth because of two things. One is Krishna's not a leela. His human-like pastimes are the most wonderful. Krishnero jateko khela tar modhe noro leela noro bopu taharo swarup. Of all the khelas or pastimes of Krishna, and this is also another beautiful expression that has been used by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Khela. Khela in Hindi also use khelna. So khela means play. It's just a play. So play and pastimes are similar. For the sake of pleasure, one is doing that. One doesn't have to do that. Here is the difference between our activities and Krishna's pastimes. The difference is our activities are forced upon us. We can't avoid it. Our activities are an outcome of guna and karma. We act And as a result of that, we become responsible to the reactions. And those reactions are forced upon us. If the reactions are good, we don't mind it. But when the reactions are bad, then we become distressed. And when is the good reactions are good? When we act in a good way, pious way. Those good actions are known as pious activities. And we act in a sinful way. When we act in a sinful way, then the reactions become very, very distressful, like punishment. For good actions, we get rewards. For bad actions, we get punishments. So rewards, one doesn't mind. To get some rewards, to get some award, to get some gift, one doesn't mind. Because they are pleasing. But to get punishment, one always wants to avoid that. One doesn't desire that. That's why Krishna is saying, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. Krishna actually delivers us from all our karmic reactions. But Krishna is simply here saying, papebhyo means I deliver you from all your sinful activities because of that reason. Because the sinful activities cause suffering. And we don't want suffering. We want to enjoy, and we don't want to suffer. But enjoyment and suffering both are actually the results of our material bondage, which is beginning from the cause of just turning away from Krishna, rejecting Krishna, turning our consciousness away from Krishna. That's why the solution to that problem is to be Krishna conscious. The problem started because we shifted our consciousness away from Krishna. Instead of projecting onto Krishna, we shifted our consciousness away from Krishna. And away from Krishna means Krishna's external energy. And that is the cause of all our problems. Now, if we want to solve this problem, what is the simple solution? The solution is very simple. The cause of our problem is just our turning our face away from Krishna, consciousness away from Krishna. Therefore, solution is to project our consciousness onto Krishna. That's why Prabhupada described this institution as the Society for Krishna Consciousness. The process is turn your consciousness towards Krishna. Become Krishna conscious. Don't shift your consciousness away from Krishna. Anyway, so I was describing two reasons why Krishna appears. So Krishna comes to this material nature. Why? Krishna himself said, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. When there is dharmasya glani. So here again, what is dharma? Dharma means the laws given by Krishna. This expression is used so extensively, dharma or religion. But actually nobody knows what dharma is. I remember a few years back, once I attended one conference here in New York. The conference on the Dharma conference, or something like that it was. But I was amazed to see that not a single person actually had any understanding of what Dharma is. They're coming and giving big lectures, big guys, but they don't have any understanding of what Dharma is. All these people speak about Hindu Dharma, Musalman Dharma, Christian Dharma, but they don't have any understanding of what dharma is. Because they haven't been properly educated by a qualified teacher following a proper syllabus. The books are there. Like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the books. And if we study those books under the guidance of a qualified teacher, then the knowledge becomes very easily available. Knowledge is easily available provided we are properly educated. Provided we are receiving it from a qualified teacher. If you don't come across a qualified teacher, the books may be there, but we won't get any knowledge. We won't get any understanding. So here, Krishna is giving a very clear understanding. That he is describing what is dharma? Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Vyasadeva is giving us that understanding in Srimad Bhagavatam. The dharma actually is the law given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then again, it gives even more detailed understanding. Why law is there? Law and order, law is there given by, first of all, law is given by the king. And why the law is given? The law is actually given by the king so that the citizens can live happily. That is the purpose of law. So dharma in the initial stage is a law given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the ultimate purpose of dharma is enjoyment. Therefore, dharma again has got two aspects. One is the nitya dharma and the other is naimittik dharma. The preliminary concept of dharma and the ultimate concept of dharma. Naimittik dharma and nitya dharma. Now, the initial or preliminary stage of dharma is to follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures. But then the nitya dharma, the ultimate consideration of dharma is what? Love. Why love? Because love is the source of enjoyment. The ultimate consideration of dharma is to love Krishna. That is the ultimate dharma. Sanatana dharma means to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why? Because that is how we are going to enjoy. Anyway, so Krishna is giving us a very, very clear understanding through the scriptures. Follow the dharma. What is dharma? The laws given by Krishna. And when these dharmas are, dharmic principles are broken, when the law and order is not being followed, then what happens? Then sometimes the king sends the his police to establish law and order. When they fail, then he himself comes. In a critical situation, he himself comes. So, whenever there is a decline of law and order, then Krishna comes. And that also has two aspects again, two functions, two outcomes. When the king comes and establishes dharma, then what happens? Those who are miscreants, he punishes them. But those who are law-abiding citizens, they feel relief. Oh, now it's he has come. And the law-abiding citizens then get an opportunity to develop a relationship with the king. So same thing with the King of Kings, Krishna. Whenever there is a decline of dharma, then he comes to re-establish dharma. And while he is re-establishing dharma, the sadhus feel very, very excited. They feel very enlivened and enchanted. Oh, now the Lord has come. So now we get an opportunity to. The personality who we've been waiting for so many years to see, whom we believed, whom we had been serving, and now he is here. Who are the sadhus? Sadhus are the devotees. Mahatmanas tu mang partha daiving prakriti mashrita. Sadhus are actually the mahatmas, those who have taken shelter of Krishna's daivi prakriti. Daivi prakriti means those who are situated in the transcendental platform. Those who have accepted Krishna and his divine nature. So they are the sadhus or mahatmas. So, Krishna comes, paritranaya sadhunam. The first reason for him to come is actually to paritranaya sadhunam, to free the, relieve the sadhus from the distressful condition, to save the sadhus from a distressful condition and to give them his association. And the secondary reason is vinashayacha duskritam. Prabhupada is saying that killing the demons is not a very difficult job for Krishna. Even the demigods can take care of that. If Pavandev cuts the supply of oxygen, all the demons will be taken care of. Even the demigods can take care of the demons. Sometimes Durga, if the demigods cannot, then Durga takes care of them. Mahamaya. So Krishna doesn't really come to deal with the demons. Yeah, sometimes some special demons who come from Vaikuntha, those demons Krishna has to deal, because the demigods, all the way up to Lord Shiva, cannot deal with them because their position is superior to theirs. And those demons are like the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Jai Vijay and others. Sometimes Sudama becomes a demon. So sometimes the Jai Vijay, sometimes Krishna's associate, sometimes become demon, assume the role of a demon. It's a play. It's a play. But in the play also, there is an etiquette. The lower ones cannot deal with the higher ones. Like, some demons Lord Shiva couldn't deal with. Like Jai Vijay, I'm sorry, Ravan Kumbhakarna, Shishupal Dantavakra, Lord Shiva couldn't deal with. Even Sankhachur demon, Shiva couldn't deal with, because they are coming from even higher platform. Then Krishna has to deal with them. And because Krishna has a purpose, because they're coming down to this material nature, has a purpose related to Krishna, that's why Krishna deals with them. For example, in case of Jai Vijay, they wanted to give Krishna the taste or experience of the mellow of chivalry. Chivalry means fight. So in Vaikuntha, Krishna doesn't enjoy this mellow. Mellow of chivalry, Veera Rasa, is not enjoyed by Krishna, by Narayan in Vaikuntha. So Jaya and Vijaya desired, oh, it would have been so nice if we could fulfill that desire of the Lord. So that fighting with the Lord had to be somewhere else other than Vaikuntha. So they had to come here to the fighting arena. And they had to be cursed by the four Kumaras, fall down, become demons, as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. And they created a very, very difficult situation. Then the Lord had to come as Nrisingadev and Varahadev. Then they again appeared in Treta Yuga as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. Then the Lord again had to come as Ramchandra to kill them. Then in Dwapar Yuga they again appeared as Shishupal and Dantavakra. The Lord came as Krishna. But did Krishna come to kill the demons? No. Krishna came, paritranaya sadhunam, to give his association to the devotee. And that is the purpose. And it has also been mentioned that Krishna doesn't kill the demons. It's not the business of Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, of Vrindavan. He doesn't kill the demons. But the Vishnu, who is in the body of Krishna, he kills the demons. It seems that Krishna is killing, but it's actually Vishnu is killing the demons. So in this way, the Lord comes, one, to re-establish dharma And then again, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. And another reason why he comes is to, mainly, as I said, as to associate with his devotees. Now, some association where he had to assume a role which is very different, which does not really clearly indicate his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to deal with a devotees in a very, very intimate way, the Lord becomes one of them. And those, that appearance of the Lord is known as his Naralila. Naralila, Nara means human being. And Leela, his pastimes as a human being. Now, appearing as a human being when he performs his pastimes, that is considered to be the most exalted, most elevated of all his pastimes. Krishnero jatiko khala tar mudhe noro Leela. His human life, human-like pastimes are the most exalted. Why? Because Naravapu Taharoshwarup. Because of his form as a human being is his Swarup. The Lord's original identity, the Lord's original form is like that of a human being. Meaning, his original identity is two-armed. Four-armed is not his original identity. It's there his expansion. Narayan form, the four-armed form, even in Dwarka, Krishna is Vasudev. That Vasudev also sometimes four-arm, sometimes two-arm. So it's not quite Naralila. So his Naralila, when he assumes the form of a human being, that is his actual identity, Swarup, his original form. And that's why in that form he is Purushottama. He is the Supreme. And he has two aspects of Purushottama. One is Leela Purushottam, that is Krishna, and the other is Marjada Purushottam, that's Ramchandra. Both these pastimes are very wonderful. Ramchandra, when he performs the pastimes of Ramchandra, it actually creates such emotion. When we hear or read Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, the Lord is acting in such a wonderful way. And what is those activities of the Lord doing to us? It's just tormenting our heart with emotions. And through that, it's enabling us to develop our love for Him. When we feel a great pain for the sake of the Lord, that is actually being translated into love for the Lord. Lord Ramchandra's pastimes are very, very wonderful. Yesterday I was discussing with Swami Krishi Prabhu. Swami Krishi Prabhu and Vrindavan Chandra were asking that I give a class the next few days that I'll be here. I give a class in a rather systematic way about one topic. And I thought I'll speak on Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. In the evenings, today, tomorrow and day after, Sunday. Also another reason I thought of doing it, because recently there was Ram Navami and I was in Mayapur, I was giving the class. I gave the class well over 2 hours and still the devotees didn't want me to stop. And I could see that the devotees are so eager to hear these pastimes of the Lord. And I'm sure you all also will enjoy it, appreciate it. Anyway, so these are the two reasons. The Lord, when He appears as a human being, He appears as a human being in order to be one with them. There is a community of human beings. And the Lord, if He came just riding on a Garuda, if He just appeared, could He treat Him as one of us? No. Therefore, he comes as if he is one of us. And Krishna Leela, Braja Leela is so wonderful, is that when he comes as Ramchandra, he is a prince. We can't approach a prince. That's why he had to leave his kingdom and go to the forest. Because the devotees are in the forest, so he went to the forest to give the devotees a chance. If he stayed in the palace and the devotees lived in the forest, once in a while they could have probably gone to his palace and have his darshan. But here he came down to the situation where they are in and giving them an opportunity of his association. Generally those days the saintly people, the sages, the munis and rishis, they used to live in the forest. They didn't so much like to be in crowded places. So that's why he was in the forest. But still he is a prince. He had to come to a situation when... But who did he associate? He associated only with the sages. Very, very exalted personalities. But as Krishna, he didn't come as a prince. He came as a cowherd boy. We may have difficulty approaching a prince, but there is no problem dealing with a cowherd boy. Sometimes we may think, oh, he's a villager. I am a city boy. I am better than him. So, in this way, Krishna is actually allowing his devotees to come very, very close to him. The devotees couldn't come to him, so he came down to the platform of the devotees. And there he is having a wonderful exchange in three special melos: friendship, parental and conjugal. That's not available. These melos are not available in Vaikuntha. To some extent these melos are available in Dwarka and Ayodhya. But in Vaikuntha those melos are not available at all. In Vaikuntha no one is Narayan's friend. How can they be friend? Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are just worshipping him, serving him in the mood of Santa and Dasya, neutrality and servitorship. Friendship is among the equals. So who can become equal to the Lord in Vaikuntha? No. In Ayodhya, there is a little bit of friendship, little bit of parental, little bit of conjugal. Same is with Dwarka. But not fully manifested friendship, parental and conjugal. But in Vrindavan, these melos are perfectly manifested. Why? Because there Krishna has come down to their level. A devotee cannot become equal to the Lord. But if the Lord wants, he can become equal to the devotee. If the Lord wants, he can become even subordinate to the devotees in parental melo. And if the Lord wants, he can allow the young girls to have a love affair with him. So that's how, that is the wonderful aspect of Vrindavan. Krishna is allowing his devotees to develop these three very, very intimate relationships. Now in order to enable that opportunity, he had to take birth. If he came riding on a Garuda or if he appeared from a pillar like Nrisingadev, one could not actually develop these intimate relationships. Therefore the Lord had to go into the womb of Mother Devaki. It's not, he didn't go enter into the womb just like an ordinary person who takes birth through the seminal transmission. This transmission was a very different type of transmission. In the prison, Devaki and Vasudev were separated actually. Although they were in the prison, they're shackled, they're chained. Kamsa was trying to prevent the appearance of Krishna in whichever way he could. He not only imprisoned them, he separated them. And it was going on like that. Balaram's case was apparently appeared to be a miscarriage of Devaki. And but how did the transmission from Devaki to Vasudev took place? How did the transmission take place? From Vasudev's heart to Devaki's heart. And then Krishna is in the womb of Devaki. And it seems that Devaki is pregnant, and so the demigods came and started to offer their prayers. And demigods know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there, they understood that he came, and they all appeared there, headed by Brahma and Shiva. And there they are offering their prayers. So these prayers are very important means for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, are these fairy tales? That's the unfortunate thing. That even in India, these scriptures, which are actually the most scientific understanding of the spiritual reality, are treated as mythology, fairy tales. They're not real. They're just myth. They're just some concocted stories, like Harry Potter. I mean, to them, Harry Potter is even more important. But these books are such, so scientific understanding. Like, unfortunately, the importance are not given. That is the unfortunate affairs of the age of Kali, unfortunate state of affairs in the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, dharma, by the arrangement of Kali's treacherous, by Kali's treacherous arrangement, dharma will be given up. And dharma will be ousted and adharma will prevail. And that's what is happening. Like, these books on the scriptures, which actually establish a dharma, again, by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His law and order. If we recognize that there is a king, and the king has laws, and if I don't abide by the law, I'll be punished. Then what will one do? One will abide by the law. But now there is no recognition, no appreciation, no acceptance of the king. The king, as if the king has been in exile. Actually, that's what they did. In today's human society, first the king, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had been sent in exile. And now, he is dead. God is dead. It actually happened in the Western culture. It gradually happened. Actually, in the past, everybody used to believe in God. Practically everybody. Even the village people. Even illiterate people used to believe in God. Even in the West, they used to believe in God. But then, they built a clock. Man invented clock. Actually, the clock was a big achievement. Big break in there, so in the human civilization. Just like landing in the moon, like those days, about 400 or 500 years ago, invention of clock was something like that. Landing in the moon. That's what you'll find in all the churches. You get elaborate large clocks. You go to southern Europe, you go to Germany and all those places. In churches, what do you find? Such elaborate clock arrangement. Did you see that? In southern Germany, there are churches like in Munich and other places. As the hour strikes, not the hour, practically every 15 minutes,
quarter hour, half an hour, three-fourth of an hour, 1 hour. There will be some spiel in the clock arrangement. And say, for example, as the hour strikes, the on top of the church, a door will open up. And huge figures, practically life-size figures, will come out. And they will dance with music. Now, can you imagine, they have done that about 400 years ago. So, it was actually a big thing. Invention of clock was a big thing. But that made a turn in the scientific world, or the world of science. That was how the science actually started to establish its supremacy in the society. So these people, then they developed a concept that just as you wind the clock and the clock works, similarly God has winded up the spring and the world is functioning. The God is not involved. He winded it up and then he went on a vacation. So he used to be involved at one time, but now he is not involved. Like his involvement was, he winded up, and then now everything is functioning on its own. Isn't it? It's a very, very interesting development, actually. And you can see how Kali very systematically establishing his authority. Now God is gone. Now the king or God has been sent into exile. He was there, but now he is not there. He is sent in exile. And after sending him in exile, what they did? They sent the assassin to kill him. So now God is dead. And now, no one even thinks about God. Today's world, the situation is that nobody thinks about him. And in this way, Kali is actually increasing his influence in the society. He had to get rid of God. Because if we accept God, then his authority will automatically be established. When his authority is established, then his law will be established. Then people will follow dharma. So this is how Kali is actually establishing adharma. And some religion that looks very much like a religion, but not a religion, Kali is promoting that. Today, which religion is growing the most? Islam. It looks like a religion, but it's not religion. It is not dharma. So Kali is using it to promote his adharma. That religion is spreading. So this is how adharma is expanding. Anyway, this is how it's going to happen naturally. But we are fortunate. We are very fortunate. Because although the situation will become very, very precarious, but we know that Krishna will establish dharma. And he already appeared. He knew that Kali Yuga will, in Kali Yuga this will happen. So he appeared. And he is present. To deal with the situation, his constant presence is necessary. And what is his constant presence? In the form of the holy name. So we know in one hand adharma will spread, but on the other hand we can counteract that adharma by the holy name. So that's why we must take shelter of the holy name, depend upon the holy name, chant the holy name, and spread the holy name. So this is how ultimately there will be a conflict, there will be a war. Kali has already taken over. Now, do you think Kali will say, please come? and take it away from me? No. Kali will try to hold it, hold his sovereignty with all his life. Kali will say, over my dead body I'll give up. Therefore, Kali has to die. Not die, although Kali says, dead, over my dead body. But Kali is a coward. So he cannot face death so bravely. So when the situation becomes difficult, Kali will hide in some mountain caves. He'll run away. Or he'll go underwater. For 10,000 years that will be, what's going to happen. But how it will happen? It will happen by the promotion of Sankirtan movement. That's why it's so important that we accept this movement seriously and we try to spread this movement seriously. It's not just a process that we can practice ourselves and be satisfied. Well, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm following the principles, I'm okay. No. Just me alone doing it is not going to serve the purpose. The real purpose will be served that we go out, not only we practice, but we go out and spread it. That is what is the most important mission that we have. So that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. We saw Prabhupada's life. Prabhupada himself was not satisfied just by sitting in Vrindavan. What could have been a better situation for a devotee of Krishna than being in Vrindavan? Not only being in Vrindavan, being in Radha Damodar temple. And Radha Damodar temple is also the place where Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami's samadhi. And Prabhupada was living just next door. Next to that, Prabhupada would look out of his window and he would see this Rupa Goswami Samadhi, Raghunath Das Goswami Samadhi. He's practically living with them. But Prabhupada left that situation, came to the very, very difficult condition in America. Practically penniless, Prabhupada came to America without any means of what to speak of spreading Krishna consciousness. He didn't even have proper arrangements for his survival here. He didn't know what to eat and where he was going to stay. In that total uncertainty, Prabhupada came to America. Why? To spread Krishna consciousness. Now, as his followers, what should he do? Should he just take it easy and have nice prasad and go to sleep? No, we have to take it upon ourselves, especially the youth, the young ones, because you have to do things. We are old. We don't really have much energy and strength. We don't have much enthusiasm, but you are full of it. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to utilize your youthful energy? Having fun or promoting Krishna consciousness movement. Consider how this movement was spreading during Prabhupada's time because of the involvement of the American youth. And the elders, what they should do? They have to encourage and provide the facilities for the youth to go out and make it happen. So please take up this mission seriously. Everybody, I'm pointing my fingers to the youth, but actually I'm addressing everybody and appealing to everybody, whether you are young or old, whether you are man or woman, doesn't matter. Everybody take up this mission and push this movement forward. Whatever your ability is, whatever your limitations may have been, just try your best. Otherwise, you can see the situation. And Krishna is shaking you all up, actually. America was a wonderful country, everything was so nice, life was easy, life was comfortable, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is shaking up the American condition. And the world situation, I tell you, will become more and more difficult. If you don't take up the cause, you'll be forced to take up the cause. You think terrorists are terrible. I mean, they didn't even start their work. They're just preparing. And they'll come out. They'll ransack the whole world. That is their agenda. In one hand, the structure, the social structure, the economic structure is becoming, is being shaken up in one hand, and then another hand, what will happen? The terrorists will then come. And what will be the terrorists' main target? This country is going to be their main target, America, because it's the most powerful country. So if they want to take over the power, which country they'll be concentrating their attack? America. All the other countries also will be affected, naturally. Especially countries like India and all will be very badly affected. But don't think that America is safe. And you can see America is becoming weaker and weaker. America is becoming weaker and these people are becoming stronger. Now who is going to deal with them? Do you think Russia is going to deal with them? Do you think China is going to deal with them? No. None of them will be able to deal with them. The only power that can deal with them is the power of Sankirtan movement. That is the only means to counteract this onslaught of adharma. So please take this up seriously. It may not sound very pleasant to hear, but intelligence is to see things well in advance. Non-intelligent people think that nothing will, worst thing will never happen. They are like the ostrich. You know the ostrich? Ostrich hides its head, sinks its head under the sand, and it thinks that everything is all right. Because his head is stuck into the sand, he's thinking everything. Because he's not seeing anything, he thinks everything is all right. But are you going to become ostrich, or we are going to become situated in knowledge, wisdom? Use our intelligence. And intelligence means to see what's coming and prepare ourselves in advance. That is what intelligence is. We have to develop our intelligence in that way. See what's coming. And prepare. Of course, I don't mean you prepare. I was feeling very funny that even some devotees, when there was this threat of what's it called? The millennium crisis?
Y2K.
Y2K. Even the devotees were storing foods and trying to find a situation where they could hide. They were storing food. I used to tell them that you are storing food, you will be the biggest target. Because when there is no food, and if you have food, they'll come to you first. And they won't come with a begging bowl. They'll come with their guns and weapons. And you'll be the first target that they will get rid of. Because you have it. So how do you prepare? The preparation is by becoming Krishna conscious and by spreading Krishna consciousness. And we should be prepared, okay? Maybe for days together we won't have anything to eat. So what? Krishna gave so much that every day we are overeating. So if someday we don't have anything to eat, what's the harm? So you can see now Krishna wants us to, Krishna fed us more than we needed, and now Krishna wants us to starve. So in this way, with Krishna consciousness, we can accept everything and face the beautiful life of Krishna consciousness. And another thing that Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, Prabhupada is saying a devotee takes even the distressful condition as the mercy of Krishna. Because the distresses are also mercy of Krishna. What is Krishna doing through our difficulties, the difficulties that he is making us face? Krishna is disentangling us from our material bondage. Therefore, a devotee accepts everything in the light of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is all merciful. So whatever happens is nothing but an expression of his mercy. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Swami Krishna Prabhu.
Normally, like if Krishna consciousness is increasing, like there is sankirtan is going on, so earlier the opposite side should get depressed or should not come up with force, but we see that clear Kali is coming. And where this 10,000 years came, just from Srila Prabhupada, and from any scripture, that 10,000 first year would be golden age.
What's the difference between Prabhupada's words and scriptures?
That's, but I want to see if there is any Vedic literature.
There is some indication of that. I forgot which scripture it was. It actually says, like, for 5,000 years, it divided into two fives, 5,000 and 5,000. And this is what's going to happen. The spread, the holy name of the Lord will be the principal means of dharma. And this will spread, and a very beautiful situation will prevail. Which kind of indicates, I don't exactly remember, but honestly speaking, you know, even if it is not there, to us it shouldn't matter. As Prabhupada said, Prabhupada is not just going to tell a lie. Those who don't believe in Prabhupada, let them speculate whatever they want. But we have implicit faith in Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, it will happen.
Now, so why Kali is more overpowering when Sankirtan Yuga is getting more and more pronounced for this first 10,000 years?
Is it really becoming more and more pronounced, Sankirtan Yuga?
Is it?
Just consider how the Sankirtan Yaga was during Prabhupada's time and how it is today. I mean, there is a very, very distinct decline. I mean, we have to take up this mission seriously. Just consider during Prabhupada's time, if we had this temple, how many devotees would have been here? Right? You have been packed. So, the reality is the Sankirtan movement is not spreading. It's in decline. Therefore, we must give it a push.
My other question is, Lord Krishna also has the tendency to fight. So why Vishnu has, why he does not fight directly himself? We say that it is Vishnu who comes to fight, but similar tendency is there, as it is in Vishnu. Krishna also has the same tendency to fight Shivara's activity.
He fights out of love with his cowherd boyfriends. He doesn't fight with the demons. That fight takes place between Vishnu and Krishna. Vishnu fights.
But Jay and Vijay, those are also... Is it Krishna directly fighting
Shishupal and Nantavakra? No, it is Vishnu actually.
But they are his devotees, so they come. Like Lord Krishna fought with the boar. daughter is Jambavati, Jambavana.
Okay.
Like, that is Krishna directly fought with Jambavana and it was Vishnu.
With Jambavana is different, he is a devotee.
But same thing, Jay and Vijay and all this.
Yeah, but they are devotees, but they came as demons. Jambavan didn't come as a demon, right? And you see, Vishnu dealing with them, that is killing part of it, is not done by Krishna. Killing the demon is not the business of Krishna. Krishna is way above that. He is a Lila Purushottam. He simply enjoys, right? The killing part is done by all these. Dealing with the demons and all, that's the job of Vishnu. So Vishnu in Krishna actually kills those demons.
Another question was about, like, all the religions has basic tenets are the same, some are higher, some are lower. So when we say that this Islam is a non-like it's a religion for the terrorists, or it is spreading or degrading, so that maybe if there was some
Islam, the religion may be in a certain way, but the question is how it's being presented and how it's being practiced, right? Is there, of course, in Islam there is a religious aspect, but is that religious aspect being followed?
That could happen degrading Hindu or Christianity.
Okay, so Hinduism, the same thing. Hinduism also has, you know, they have drifted away, millions of miles away from the religious aspect of it. They are just caught up with some ritualistic aspect, and most of them don't even worry about that also. You know, actually today Hinduism is a religion where they don't have any conviction in God. Actually Muslims have some conviction. Hinduism is even worse because it doesn't have any conviction. So, which means Hindus are a bunch of people, those who don't have any religion. Okay, thank you, Swami Krishna Prabhu. Any other question? Yes, Jed.
Why does Krishna, when he is born, why does he first appear in form?
Yeah, to indicate that he is the Vasudev Krishna. For, you know, like, he is not the original Krishna, two-armed Krishna.
I'm sorry?
He is the not the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of that Krishna, of Vrindavan, into Dwarka, who is Vasudev Krishna. So Vasudev Krishna is some four-armed, but sometimes two-armed. So that's why he first appeared with four arms and then transformed into two arms. It's not the two-armed Krishna. That Krishna is the Krishna of Vrindavan. That son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudev Krishna is his expansion. Okay. Any other question? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for a very beautiful